I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Welcome to the LCJ Q&A podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I love this movie. I love watching the show growing up. Phineas and Ferb, they are back. The franchise is back. Phineas and Ferb, Candace Against the Universe, this Friday, August 28th on Disney+. Joining me right now, the guys who created Phineas and Ferb, their EPs on this movie, Dan Povenmire and Jeff Swampy Marsh. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. And I got the
T-shirt.
Oh, thank you. And I got the Pez's here with me.
And the Pez.
That is some beautiful stuff.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank
you. So, Swampy, have you ever been jealous that you didn't get a Pez?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just a little.
I just realized that you're the only one that's not really represented there.
Only me.
It's you and Vanessa, I guess.
We've got these five. But yeah, maybe because of the movie, maybe the Pez people will put out even more characters. They like to do that with tie-ins.
You should lobby for that, Swampy. I'll back you up on that.
Yes, I'll get in on that. We got a month.
All that lovely white hair.
Yes,
exactly.
I mean, and your look design is already a Pez dispenser.
That's right. And you are looking much more like Monogram these days, because you didn't have the gray hair when we started.
No, I know. It used to
you you just shave and you're Monogram. Put a monobrow on you.
Get rid of this and I'm fine.
Yeah.
I can get a little bushier here.
Congrats on this. It is really fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're very, very proud of it. I think it's maybe one of the best things we've done.
Yeah, I read that on your Twitter, Dan, that you said a couple weeks ago, months ago, that you think it's the best thing you guys have ever done. At what point did you kind of realize that?
Well, so other people had said that early on in the process, and I was like, we'll see how it turns out. Like, there was still a lot of stuff I wanted to fix. But as they gave us enough time to really, you know, smooth out some rough edges and stuff like that, I feel like when we saw it all done, I cried and I was like, oh my God, I'm so emotional. Like this. I think it's really, really
in
good.
In fairness, we're an easy cry target, but
yes,
we've
exactly
seen this film 30 so, or 40 yeah times at least. And the last time we watched it, I get to the end and I still get emotional.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking to myself, dude, you've seen this countless times. Seriously?
So yeah. It's like when you're watching Star Wars for the umpteenth time and you're like, hit it, make sure you get it in the exhaust port. And like, as
I'm,
though
I'm
he's
warning you,
Dan, this time somehow.
I wasn't one time and he missed.
No spoilers.
You do get emotional at various points in this movie because there are a few things, and I don't want to give anything away here.
Right.
But you take a bit of a trip down memory lane at certain points. And I think for a franchise like this that's been around for more than a decade, so successful, you have the right to take a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, we lived with these characters for 10 years. And, you know, like day in and day out, that was like all of our brains were going around those characters. You know, when we ended it, it was sort of like Swampy and I sort of wanted to do a finale and finish it and move on. But we've missed it for so, you know, for 5 years. When they brought it up, we were like, yeah, we would like to do that. We, you know, like it's like having your kids back from college in a way. And, it was just so much fun to play in that sandbox again. We tried to put as much stuff in, as much jokes in for people who had seen the entire series and for kids who have maybe never seen it at all. And this might be the first introduction to them, to Phineas and Ferb. So we tried to sort of serve all those masters.
Yeah, you absolutely succeed with that. And one of the things that really impressed me as somebody who watched every episode of the show, including the finale you guys did, which was great, is that the music to me seems better than ever. Like all of the songs in this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I always felt like there was this thing that we had to live up to on some of the best songs that we had written on the series. And I remember not feeling like we had quite done it for a long time. And then when I heard them all finished with all the orchestra and stuff on them, suddenly it was like, oh, no, it is. It's. I think that may be better. But I think that's how you make things better, is you constantly think that they're not good enough. So you constantly are shaping them, trying to make them better and better. But I think that's how you do the best stuff. The best stuff you do, you aren't thrilled with it while it's happening. You only thrilled with it afterward.
I love that my son, who's now starting to write songs with one of his friends, came to me and he said, you were right about the volume thing. The more you do it, the more you can write.
It's yeah.
One thing we've always talked about is there's not a finite well of creativity. It's a muscle. And the more you exercise it, the better it gets. And, I just think the more we do this, the better we get at it.
And all the self-aware humor and the references, oh my gosh, there's so much of that. And I don't want to spoil the overall plot of this, but there's a major theme here involving Candace, who you present an interesting perspective because she really hasn't gotten her due and she almost feels like a bother. And I was like, man, when you present it in this way, you're right about this. Was this storyline always sort of in the back of your mind thinking, yeah, one day we're going to sort of explore this other side?
Yeah, I like that we get to sort of really hit it because it's always been important to us. And it's not always, I think, if you don't watch the whole series, it's harder to see this. But that Candace is not trying to be mean. She's not trying to do anything bad to her brothers. She just feels like if I were to build a roller coaster in the backyard, I would get in trouble. And mom should see this and the boys should get in trouble for it.
By the way, shout out to Jennifer Grey for helping be the inspiration of that.
Yes, exactly. Jennifer Grey in it was sort of the our touch point for that was Jennifer Grey's character in Ferris Bueller. She doesn't hate Ferris. She just gets pissed off that he gets away with stuff that she wouldn't get away with. That's what Candace is. She's sort of Jennifer Grey on steroids. It was nice for us to sort of explore what that would do to her psyche for her to fail over and over and over and over again like that. What is her summer really like?
Mm. We haven't really explored things from her point of view in that way. And the other part of that I think for us was fun to do is Dan and I both like it when we have moments of genuine connection and love between Phineas and Ferb and Candace. And every time we do it, and when we do it well and we earn that moment, it's some of the best moments in the show.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that gets us choked up and weepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the emotional stuff and it's also the humor. And you're back as the voices of Doofenshmirtz and Monogram.
Excellent.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I love hearing those. Thank you, guys. I love hearing those. Was it tough to get back into that mind frame at all, either doing it in the booth or maybe even doing it at home during this period of time, to get back into the mind frame of these characters that you did on so many episodes of this show?
I think Doofenshmirtz is always on the
time.
Yeah, he's always on the tip of my tongue. I think he's just under the surface, so it was very easy for me. Basically, I'm always trying not to become Doofenshmirtz. And so it was much easier to just...
Dan, for every time you have to call customer service anywhere...
I should always be Doofenshmirtz.
And then just be surprised when people recognize...
Yes. What do you mean?
Left messages for kids all over the world, giving them missions.
I heard you're doing that for kids, voicing him for messages.
Yeah.
That's really nice, guys. That's really nice. I got Dan Poppenmeyer and Swampy Marsh here with me on the LCJ Q&A talking about the new Phineas and Ferb movie, which is so great. It's this Friday on Disney Plus. You guys working on this during COVID? How were the last few months in putting this all together?
It was a little crazy. Disney had to sort of scramble and figure out how to give the editors the equipment they needed to edit from home and still interact with the computers
lines
at home. We had to record people from their own living rooms and closets. We saw the inside of a lot of people's closets.
There's stuff we shouldn't have seen.
Yes, exactly. It was an interesting exercise in just, in production, just in general. We had overseas studios doing in-between animation that would get shut down while they still had art to do for us. Mm-hmm. And we would have to take some of those scenes and put it in another studio. And then they'd get a little bit into those scenes and they'd get shut down and we had to keep moving things around and eventually it all got done and even on time, which was impressive.
On the upside, Dan and I got to write our first song together over a FaceTime call.
This is true. This is true. The last song in the movie over the end credits is a song that Swampy and I wrote on FaceTime during quarantine, where I was like, okay, well, let's take out the guitars and put it here. And like, we're both typing on our computers.
And it works. And it still sounds amazing. What everybody's been able to do at home, it still sounds amazing. And I know for many years, at one time, it was like July 26, 2013, or at some point, there was going to be a Phineas and Ferb theatrical movie.
Yes.
But I feel like this justifies that, especially since theaters are closed right now. You know, this is as big as it's ever going to get. How do you feel, honestly, the fact that it's out in the summertime and the fact that it's out for families to watch on Disney Plus during this time?
Oh, I think it's
a time when everybody needs to laugh and smile and have a bunch of positive humor in their lives.
Yeah, so I think it's very well timed for that. I think that, you know, it's like we've sort of got a captive audience, sadly, but I'm hearing a lot of people in their 19 to 24 range who grew up with Phineas are rewatching it right now on Disney Plus because it sort of reminds them of their childhood and there's this nostalgia thing. I think that it's coming along at a time where people really need that kind of humor.
Yeah, I'm so glad for you guys as well. There is a moment in the film, I will not give it away, but you take things to their base elements. And
yes, yes, we do.
Was that an initial thought for you guys from the beginning that, you know, at one point in this movie, we should take it to our base elements?
That's actually a gag from the original script that you were talking about, the 2013 script. It's the only gag that we saved from that script. One of our writers, John Barry, that was his gag. And we had this scene. I was like, wait, we could do that gag. Cause that always made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
We could do that gag from what draft of the movie was that? And we had to like go back through the archives and try to find that scene and figure out like, what would we search for to find that? But you know, to me, it's like the ultimate meta joke. It's the self-realization joke. And
I love that self-awareness as long as the temptation with a lot of the writers and board artists was kind of to use that too much. And we always like, if you just keep it in small doses.
Yes, exactly. You get one meta joke per 11 minutes.
Exactly. You're overdoing it.
but in key moments, and the key moments work, and there's some of the things I remember in thinking about the show again over the years. And man, that space adventure theme, which is like a combination of Star Trek and The Love Boat, because
But the space adventure theme was actually something we wrote for the series and then only used a little tiny bit of it. I had completely forgotten.
Adventure in space.
Yes, space adventure. It's an adventure in space. That's all we ever used in the series. But when we had this in the script, Bob Bowen, our director, said, do you have that piece of music, the space adventure in space? And I said, oh yeah, let me look for it. I looked for it in my phone and I found the entire version. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot we wrote this entire version. Like there's a long version of this that actually exists. And Bob's like, well, I'm using that whole thing then. And he did the whole opening sequence of space adventure and it became this running joke in the movie. But I was so pleased that we finally got to use that. I forgot that we had written this long version, then cut it down.
Meet our leader as well, because if you like those kind of classic show tunes, I mean, it's just in line. And you mentioned a little bit earlier this song you guys wrote for the end credits, the last one. I won't say what it is, but
it's called We're Back.
Right, right. And I was thinking, did you place it at the end because you want to tease a little more down the line?
I would like to think that we'll do more of this at some point.
It was a sneaky way for us to force it. No, I'm kidding.
But you think? You think?
We promised it in the song. You have.
Yeah.
Interesting. So. Interesting. Well, I hope we get even more of Phineas and Ferb after this. I do. But what a satisfying film. What a
fun
movie
so much.
For this time and for diehard Phineas and Ferb fans. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Trust me. Phineas and Ferb, Candace Against the Universe, this Friday, August 28th on Disney Plus. Dan Povenmire, who appeared here on the LCJ Q&A a few years ago. Thank you for coming back.
Yes, absolutely.
Marsh, thank you so much
you
for
much.
Doing this movie and for being on.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thanks for listening to the LCJ Q&A podcast.